This is HeartWise, offering practical tips and time-proven guidelines to make your life healthier, happier, and more fulfilling. Today you'll learn simple Bible-based principles for building and maintaining optimum mental and physical health, all while deepening your relationship with your Creator. I'm your HeartWise host, Charles Mills. As most of you know, this radio program, HeartWise, is part of a ministry founded and directed by Christian cardiologist Dr. James Markham. Dr. Markham has often said that we are all healers, that the simple and practical suggestions that our guests provide program after program can bring real healing to the minds, bodies, and spirits of our listeners. Well, it seems that HeartWise is following in the footsteps of many Christian organizations throughout history. Our guest today says that healthcare and hospitals played an important role in church history, and he's here to share some incredible insights into how physical healing has always walked hand in hand with the spiritual outreach of God's people around the world. Michael Austin is a communications consultant, in-demand speaker, and a student of church history. His knowledge of various faith traditions has helped him develop a unique perspective on the modern Christian church and its healing roots. Michael Austin, welcome to HeartWise.
Well, thank you. It's so good to be with you and your audience.
Why do you think, Michael Austin, that healthcare and hospitals have always been an important part of Christian outreach? You even sent me an entire magazine on this topic. What are your thoughts?
Charles, that's a pretty easy question to answer, because there's so much in the Bible that tells us where health and healing comes from and who is the great physician. So simply stated, that would be my best answer to that question.
Yeah, tell us about this Christian History magazine.
The magazine was started in 1984 by a man named Ken Curtis. And Ken was under a conviction that we Christians just don't know very much about history and need to know more.
Yes.
Ken loved history and began a long career in producing films that were documentaries of great Christian leaders, many of whom were in the healing business. That is, that they were missionaries, medical missionaries, as well as pastors and leaders in the church throughout history who had a lot to do with the institution of what became hospital, what became the clinic, what became assisted living organizations, and also the mortuary business. That is, honoring a person by properly burying that person and taking care of their body. In this issue, the first article is about the Roman times, and it's horrifying, actually, to to read about some of these amazing stories of the neglect of their fellow men in Roman times. I mean, bodies were basically just piled up to rot alongside a road or a street in a city. There was terrible, terrible disease caused by that. Not knowing their creator, they neglected people. It was basically the survival of the fittest. And it's rather terrifying to think of what life might be today if it were not for the coming of our Lord Jesus and our Father's preservation of the Bible and Christian values.
You're bringing up an interesting point here, and any student of the Bible, anyone who has spent any time at all, especially in the Gospels, realize that the healing ministry, going around and helping people feel better, helping people with their diseases, was a central theme of Christ's ministry. And if we are to be called by his name, then it follows that we need to make healing and care for other people's mind, body, and spirit part of our ministry, our personal ministry as well. So in the Roman times before Christ came along, there was this decadent ideal that people followed about what human life was, the value of it, especially after death and whatnot. When Christ came along, it must have been unusual for someone to go around just healing people, talking about their diseases. And the Romans, who were in charge of the country at that time, must have looked at this and said, "What is this man doing?" Would I be right in saying that?
Absolutely. I think that's what we read. We read that very picture. We see that very picture in the New Testament. Our Savior, Jesus Christ, was like no other person who ever lived. This is why the leaders of the prevailing religion, the rabbis, the Hebrew tradition, were stunned, and they came to him and asked him. They were expecting the Messiah to come.
Right.
They were expecting an individual to behave in ways that he behaved. I think what the problem was, and of course Paul discusses this in great detail in Romans 9, 10, 11, they did not recognize him. He came to his own and they refused him.
Yeah.
By the way, this is something that I think we Gentiles, we non-Jews, have to be very grateful for, because it is because of that that we have been grafted in to the Messiah and to the root of the Messiah. That is the Hebrew roots that we have been grafted into. But the Messiah came with extraordinary powers, supernatural powers. And isn't it interesting that when he displayed them, he didn't display them.
Yes, yes. He
did this in a natural course. He even told people when he cured them of their deafness or leprosy or some other malady, he would tell them, don't tell anybody about
this.
Right. Or he would tell them, go to the rabbi and give thanks appropriately to the Father for what has happened. But yes, this was stunning. This is something that I attribute his notoriety globally. He is the most famous person to have ever lived to be a result of these extraordinary, miraculous healing powers that he had. And by the way, he said to us, you will do even greater works. This is a great mystery. This is a great challenge. It is also a great gift. And so one of the amazing stories, one of the themes, is that he is the great physician. He is the healer. Our Father in heaven heals us, preserves us, restores us. And what we can do is kind of be his arms and legs, if you will. We can aid and abet him by following his words, by keeping his words. You know, he gave his people, he gave his chosen people some very strict dietary laws. He gave them the idea, the concept of how precious life is, that we are actually made in his image. Now, this is unique throughout history and among religions. This is unique to the Judeo-Christian faith. And that is that we are made in God's image. There's something very special. We are very different than any other being that God created. Other religions put us just into a great vortex of creation and deal with that in various different ways, but do not recognize that the Creator made human beings to be very different, very special. He has given us a conscience. He's given us a spirit. And that is to be honored. We are called to honor that.
And one of the more important ways that we can honor that, of course, is to keep ourselves healthy. And that is a full circle there, that God wants us to be healthy. He has shown us how to do that. And when we do what he says, we are healthy, and that enables us to help other people be healthy. So there's a wonderful circle going on. We'll take a short break. And when we come back, I want to talk to you about the early Christian church, how they structured themselves to be a healing ministry. And then let's follow that healing ministry through the ages up until today. Our guest today is Michael Austin. He is a communication consultant, speaker, and student of church history, and we'll talk more with him on this important topic on our return, so stay right where you are.
I'm Dr. James Markham with your Biblical Prescription for Life. A patient recently asked me about natural ways to help his heart. Well, I referred him to Daniel 1 verses 12, where it says, "Please test your servants for 10 days and let us give them vegetables to eat and water to drink." Well, vegetables in that setting was that which is sown. The word is called zeroem. Well, you know the rest of the story. These fellows were 10 times smarter than the king's men. Esselstyn, in the Journal of American Family Practice in 2015, did a study that showed that people that eat greens and plant-based nutritions have healthier hearts, less cardiovascular events. So our biblical prescription for life today is Zeroim, Zeroim, eat that which is sown. For more information, visit our website. That's heartwiseministries.org.
Did you know that last year in the United States, over 4 billion prescriptions were written? Prescription medications seem to be the most popular treatments these days. But what can we do if we want to limit our exposure to prescription medications? At Heartwise, we recognize the importance of nutrition in treating and prevention of disease. Dr. Hippocrates stated, "Let food be thy medicine." Many evidence-based studies support a whole food, plant-based diet. But how is this achieved in the fast-paced world we live in today? We want to encourage those interested in this type of treatment to watch the documentary film Plant Pure Nation and visit the website plantpurenation.com. This is a great first step towards helping yourself move towards better health and helping make the world a better place. Visit plantpurenation.com to start your journey today. That's plantpurenation.com.
Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Charles Mills. Our guest today, Michael Austin. He is a student of church history, and he's sharing today some of the information that appeared in a magazine called Christian History, issue 101, by the way. And he has studied into this a great deal. And Michael, you mentioned that from the very get-go, the Christian psyche was one of healing. We wanted to bring healing of diseases as well as healing from sin. And Christ, of course, was the epitome of that type of ministry. How was the early Christian church, the church of Paul, the church that brought us up until Constantine, how did they structure themselves to be a healing ministry?
Well, they were living out their faith, and this is something that the world had never seen before. I recall that a famous philosopher, Roman philosopher Pliny, we actually have a letter that he wrote to Caesar or to the people that he reported to in the Roman government. And basically, he was saying, what is it with these Christians? They don't fear death. They rejoice at death. Now, this was a remarkable sea change. This, talk about paradigm change. This was something that people at that time could not relate to. Why? Because they basically controlled people and coerced people through the threat of death. Do this or you die. At that time, and of course, as we know, and secular historians as well as Christian historians recognize that the prevailing rule at Roman time was strictly force.
Yes.
No morals, no ethics, nothing of that sort. Basically, you do what Caesar bid you to do, or you died. Now, we're seeing influences in our world today that have that same approach.
Yes, we are.
It's rather terrifying. Our culture is dealing with that and coming to grips with that. It's a difficult thing to imagine because Western civilization is so thoroughly influenced by the Christian faith and the Bible, the ethics and the morals of the Bible, that this is just untenable to most people in the West. But at that time, that was the underpinnings of the success of the Roman Empire, was force. This incredible individual, Jesus Christ, came into this world with a message of love, of peace, of healing, and of life. And the very presence of Christians and the behavior of Christians brought the heathen or the pagan Roman rulers under conviction. They were stunned at this. And so people observed these Christians, could not figure out what in the world was the belief and the morals and the ethics under which these people were living. And people wanted this. You know, this is typical of today. A lot of people come to the Christian faith because they see something in another person's life.
Yes.
And they want that. What do they want? They want a sense of peace. They want a sense of security. They want to live a moral, good life, and they see that in Christians. At that time, in ancient times, in Roman period that you're speaking of, in Paul's time, people saw that these Christians were very, very different, and they wanted that. Why were they so different? Because they were under the leadership and under the spiritual guidance of our Heavenly Father through His Son, who He sent to show us what His nature is, what His power is. So these Christians were quite extraordinary, and indeed Christianity became popular because of that. They gave people a sign, biblically speaking. Not only did they give them a sign, but they gave them knowledge. And those two things really are an underpinning of what became a science, the science of medical care. Many of the sciences are wrapped up in medicine and health and well-being, because that's where people applied their knowledge of science. And this grew over time. But in the beginning, basically the Christians were doing something very, very simple. They were taking care of people. They were expressing brotherly love to their neighbors. And this all comes out of the teaching of Jesus. The story, of course, of the Good Samaritan is a good example of that. There are many others. But the Christians were living out His teaching. And what they were doing is basically taking care of those in need. And shortly after the death of Christ, 200 years after the death of Christ, came a horrible plague, which lasted 30 or 40 years. This was in the 200s. And there were literally millions of deaths, hundreds of millions of deaths, and the Christians were ministering to those people.
We're talking with Michael Austin about church history here and how it's connected to the healing ministry that was sparked, of course, by Jesus Christ Himself. Michael, in the last 4 or 5 minutes of the program here, I want to ask you an important question. Do you believe that the present model of healthcare is in keeping with how God would have us care for one another? We call ourselves a Christian nation here in this country. Are we using Christ's model of healthcare today in our hospitals, in our clinics, and in our doctor's offices?
I would say yes and no. It's the most extraordinary medical care technically that, of course, history has ever seen, and there's just amazing things that are happening. People are getting joint and limb replacements. There's, of course, heart transplants that have been around for a long time. So the technology is extraordinary, but my goodness, it is extraordinarily expensive. It is not available to everyone, and I think we need to rethink the model with which we deliver medical care. We need to reduce the cost. We need to make it more available, and we also need to teach people how to take care of themselves. So much of our medical problems, our health problems, are self-inflicted. So we need to educate people. We need to deliver that education. Most of all, what we need to do, we need to turn away from our own ways and our own devices and our own thoughts. And we need to turn back. We need to turn to our Father. We need to turn to our Savior. And we need to abide by His ways and not our own. So much of our problems are caused basically by pleasure. Yes. Our Savior told us to deny ourselves, not to seek pleasure. And sadly, we Christians ourselves, a very large percentage of the Christians in the West and the East globally, are behaving just like everyone else and not following the commandments that we were given, not following even good common sense about taking care of ourselves. Our Savior, he came and brought enormous change. Part of that change was that no longer would we be going to temples and buildings in order to commune with our Father and to abide by his grace and his mercy. We are the temple itself.
Yes.
We have to take that very seriously and take care of this body that we have. You know, we're as David said, we are wonderfully made in the womb. From the time of the womb, we are wonderfully made by our Creator. And we have to take this vessel that we have very, very seriously, take care of it, nurture it, abide by it, do not abuse it, and most especially thank our Father and our Savior for what he has given us and how he makes a provision for our bodies. He has provided the food that is necessary. We need to distribute that wisely. We need to distribute medical care wisely and thank him for the gift that he has given us.
My, that is a beautiful witness from Michael Austin, our guest today. He is a communications consultant, in-demand speaker, and a student of church history, and we are reaping the benefits of his research. Again, the magazine he was talking about throughout our interview today is called Christian History. And what's the website for that magazine?
That's ChristianHistoryMagazine.org. And by the way, folks can subscribe to the magazine at no cost. Just ignore the opportunities to make a donation. Of course, donations are welcome, but you can go right through that if you have the need. If you can't make that donation, go right through that process and subscribe. You'll receive, it's a quarterly magazine, you'll receive four of these beautiful full-color glossy editions a year. Mm-hmm. And the supporters and donors of the ministry are so enthusiastic to get this material into people's hands that they want to make it available at no cost.
All right, very good. And the issue we're talking about here today was issue 101. I am assuming that you can order some back issues through that website?
You can. You can order back issues, and most wonderfully, you can go onto the homepage of that site, provides a reader, and you can look up issue 101. You can pull that up into the reader, and you can turn every page of this magazine and read the whole magazine yourself right online. I really love to have the hard copy in my hand to read
<too. laughs>
at my leisure, but you can do this on the screen, and more and more people are doing this today, of course, reading material on their laptop,
yes,
on their phone or tablet. And so you can expand the type so that it's easy to read and read all of the issues. There are now 118 issues of Christian History, all available to be read right there on the site.
All right, very good. The address one more time is www.christianhistoryinstitute.org. Michael Austin, it's always a pleasure having you on this program. Thank you for coming here and sharing the history of the healing ministry of Christ and how we can become part of it even today. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Charles, and thank you for your interest in Christian history.
Absolutely. Until next time, this is Charles Mills along with Michael Austin, inviting you to remain heartwise. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for joining us today on HeartWise. If you'd like more information on how to build and maintain optimum physical, mental, and spiritual health, log on to heartwiseministries.org. HeartWise is a listener-supported program, and your partnership with us would be greatly appreciated. Once again, our web address is heartwiseministries.org.